You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome to our election coverage segment. This week's theme is housing, and during my chat earlier with the Green Party co-leader James Shaw, I asked about the Green Party's housing policy regarding everything from renting, those trying to buy houses, and how to avoid land ownership disputes such as Ihu Mātou. One plan the Greens wish to introduce is a warrant of fitness for rental properties, and I began by asking what criteria would properties have to meet in order to get a warrant?
Well, that's not something that that we think is a single political party thing to go down. There are actually already very good examples of programs that you can use. The Green Building Council has taken a strong lead on this, but our basic proposal is that basically that we haven't gone far enough on this in the past. So one thing this government did do was to introduce a sort of a healthy home standard, but we don't think that it goes far enough, and it also doesn't kind of get to everyone in the country. So one of the ways in which it doesn't go far enough, for example, is it says that you need to have heating in the main living area, which is you would think kind of goes without saying, but actually it doesn't include the bedrooms, and we know that people who suffer from respiratory illnesses are kind of caught out when they they may move out of the main living area and go into a cold or damp mouldy bedroom. And so we want to lift the standard for basically the whole kind of thermal performance of the house.
But how does that actually become a reality? I mean, I was flat searching just over the weekend, and like two of the bedrooms I saw had leaks, and they said that the landlord was coming to fix it, but it hasn't happened for many months. And it's just how does that plan really become enforced when we see changes?
Yeah, and that is kind of one of the key issues that we've got, is that we do have quite high rates of non-compliance even with our existing standards, and so we need to strengthen the appeal rights of tenants to go to the tribunal to say, hey, look, we need action on this, and the whole idea behind the warrant of fitness is that it is enforceable, so that it's called a warrant of fitness because of the parallels with a warrant of fitness for your car, which is that, an inspector comes around, checks out whether you take your car to an inspector, and obviously, they check out the performance of the vehicle. If it fails to meet the test, you don't get a warrant of fitness and you're not allowed to drive the car on the road. And if you do drive the car on the road and you get caught, you face, a significant penalty from the Crown. So we basically want to apply that principle to houses as well, which is that if you get pinged renting out a house that does not meet a basic warrant of fitness, the risk of which is that you are making your tenants sick and in some cases killing them, then you should not be allowed to operate that house. You just, you'll be forced to dispose of it.
Hmm. Another plan is to abolish the public housing waitlist within 5 years. Currently, there are about 18,000 people on the waitlist, and the plan's been described by National Party's housing spokesperson Jackie Dean as wishful thinking. What's the first step in abolishing this waitlist?
Build more houses.
Right.
I mean, it is. I mean, look, this government has significantly ramped up the state sector building program. I think we've built just over 4,000 houses so far over the course of the last 3 years, which is a good start. And the sector is, growing in capacity. So we've spoken to people in the construction sector and in economics research agencies, and they have said that if the government was to kind of go all in, if you like, then we've probably got capacity to build about 5,000 houses a year at the moment. And so what we're saying is that we will aim to do that, and then that should clear the waiting list within about 5 years. Now, recognise, obviously that, the waiting list has gone up, and that's because people have realised that actually the government is here to help. and are now coming back and saying, look, you know, my current situation is just not tenable. Can I move into public housing? And so what we need to do is to make sure that there are sufficient houses available for the people who need them, and also to kind of calm down the private sector rental market, which, as you are currently discovering, is completely overheated. And providing public housing is a way of, you know, it's part of, it's not the total solution, but it's part of the solution towards taking some of the steam out of the private sector market.
On that note of building houses, another plan on the Greens' housing policy is that the government should reduce barriers to housing developments on Māori land and ensure finances available for Papakainga and other iwi and hapu-led housing developments. I read this and I thought immediately of Ihu Mātou. How would this plan help avoid situations such as this?
Well, in Ihu Mātou, of course, what happened there was the council sold a section of land to a private developer, and they were just going to become converted to, you know, sort of regular suburban private sector housing. And it was in an area that is, you know, considered of significance to Mana Whenua, and so they put up a bit of a fight about it. But what, you know, without getting into the kind of specifics of what's going on into Ihu Mātou, is that if we were able to do what we're proposing, then you would see iwi around the country being able to develop their own land for housing, to house their people. And that's quite a different situation from what had happened at Ihu Mātou that led to the current conflict.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.